Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for the radio, the internet, community, and micropower stations worldwide.
Upstart Radio.
Should have paid us enough to fucking live. You know, we may not get paid enough to fucking live, but these bitches dirt cheap. All you had to do was pay us enough to live. All you had to do was pay us enough to fucking live. All you had to do was pay us enough to live.
Epstein files, let's go kidnap another president of another country. Where's the Epstein files? Let's go invade Iran. Where's the Epstein files? Let's blockade Cuba. Where's the Epstein files? Donald Trump posts himself as Jesus Christ. Where's the Epstein files? Donald Trump's wife comes out and says she wants the people of the Epstein files to testify before Congress. Where's the Epstein files? Donald Trump posts a woman getting murdered. Where's the Epstein files? Donald Trump depicts himself as Jesus Christ. Where's the Epstein files? Pete Hegseth starts quoting Pulp Fiction in biblical verses. Hey, gangster, I'm not gonna lie. Burn this shit down. Straight like that. I'm ended up on the list with this video. Burn this shit down. These niggas is tripping.
Fire. are fucking done. We've had enough. From the shitty cost of living to finding out the ones in charge of the system are pedophiles and blood-drinking child molesters, to this war, to our food, medicine, and water being poisoned. We are so fucking done. Nobody wakes up one day and decides out of nowhere that everything should burn. That's the part people skip over because it's easier to point at the flames than to ask what lit the match. You see a warehouse on fire and the first reaction is immediate. That's wrong. That's destruction. That's chaos. And yeah, on the surface it is. But if that's all you see, you're missing the bigger picture completely. Because things don't just erupt like that without pressure building first. Pressure from people feeling ignored, pressure from people feeling stuck, pressure from people watching systems work exactly how they were designed, just not for them. Because this is the truth about the human species that the elites don't understand. Humans, yes, all humans have a breaking point. A human being can only endure so much before it reaches its primal state and fights back in the most brutal way. Remember, we are the most dangerous animal on the planet. Most of that pressure never gets acknowledged when it's quiet. Nobody pays attention when people are struggling silently. Nobody listens when it's just frustration, exhaustion, or people barely getting by. But the moment something extreme happens, now everybody's looking. Now it's headlines, now it's conversations, now it's what's going on. That doesn't mean that action is right, but it does mean something was already wrong long before it happened. And if all the focus goes to condemning the reaction without ever examining the conditions that led to it, then nothing actually changes. You just reset the cycle. You can't keep pushing people to the edge and then act surprised when something snaps. You can't build a system where people feel disposable, replaceable, constantly under pressure, and expect everything to stay calm forever. That's not how human beings work. Remember, we are the most dangerous species on the planet. When you gradually create multiple generations of people with nothing to lose, decreasing jobs, wages, and abilities to purchase homes, and a destabilized, unsustainable way of life, people respond. You can't threaten people who have nothing to look forward to or nothing to lose. You can't threaten people with a loss of wages, a loss of employment, a loss of high quality of life when they don't have any of those things. But we have to be conscious of the cycle and actually take action to bring that change so the system can crumble forever. Something happens, people react, everybody argues, nothing changes, then it happens again. So if there's any message in moments like that, it's not in the fire itself. It's in what the fire forces people to confront. The question is whether anyone actually listens once the smoke clears, because that's when it matters. Not in the moment of chaos, not in the outrage, but after, when everything goes quiet again. That's when people either look deeper or go right back to ignoring the same problems that were there the whole time. And if it's the second one, then nothing was learned, and nothing will be different next time.
Upstart Radio.
Oh, hell, let's just do what we always do. Hijack some nuclear weapons and hold the world hostage.
I'm curious about the CIA because most people think it exists to protect national security, and that gets said a lot. But I wanted to know whose security exactly and whose nation. During World War II, the U.S. built its first spy agency, the OSS, now with soldiers with Wall Street lawyers. And they built it around one idea, that what's good for American businesses is good for America. And when the war ended, Congress shut it down. 2 years later, the same guy started the CIA. Same people, same mindset, new name, secret budget. And this time, almost nobody watching them. After the war, Truman said, don't bring over Nazis or war criminals. And the CIA brought over 1,600 of them anyway. Scrubbed their records, gave them new identities and American careers. They called it Operation Paperclip. The most famous being Werner von Braun, who ran the Nazi rocket program, using concentration camp prisoners as slave labor. And then became the father of NASA and got a crater on the moon. CIA from 1953 to 1961. His brother was running the State Department at the same time, and both of them had personal and financial ties to the United Fruit Company. So when Guatemala's elected president tried to give farmland back to his people, land that United Fruit claimed, the CIA did a coup. 200,000 Guatemalans died in the civil war that followed, and United Fruit kept its land, because apparently that's what we were calling national security. When McCarthy tried to look into the CIA, Dulles broke into his Senate office, fed him fake intelligence, and ran the story through Operation Mockingbird, a network of journalists on the CIA payroll, the 25 American newspapers and wire agencies. And when the press still got too close, they just wiretapped the journalists directly 24 hours a day and kept a list of every senator, every White House aide, every Pentagon source who was still talking. That same playbook ran in Iran, Chile, Nicaragua, the Congo, and Afghanistan. Elected leaders removed friendly dictators, installed rebel armies secretly funded. And when Congress to cut off Contra funding in Nicaragua, the CIA sold weapons to Iran through Israel, took the money, funded them anyway, and flew drugs back on the same planes, which is efficient, I guess. From the very beginning, the CIA had a secret arrangement with Israeli intelligence run for 20 years by one man, James Angleton, who was all supposed to be the person protecting the U.S. from Cuba told Kennedy it would work. It didn't. Kennedy fired dolls for it. Then told the people around him he wanted to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. He was assassinated the following year. Lyndon Johnson appointed the man Kennedy fired to lead the official investigation into Kennedy's assassination. George H.W. Bush ran the CIA, then helped run Iran-Contra as vice president. Then as president, let everyone off the hook. His attorney general, William Barr, told him to pardon them all. The same Barr who used to work at the CIA, whose father, Donald Barr, served in the OSS, hired a college dropout named Jeffrey Epstein to teach at an elite school without a degree, and wrote a science fiction novel about elites keeping humans as sex slaves. And William Barr came back as attorney general the year Jeffrey Epstein died in a federal jail with the cameras broken and the guards asleep. Lawyers built a spy agency and called it National Security. 1600 Nazis got new American careers and called it science. The CIA ran a media network to control what Americans believed and called it journalism. They did coups on four continents for corporate interests and called it democracy. They ran weapons and drugs when Congress said no and called it off the books. And the same families have been running and covering for it for 70 years and calling it public service. And now the Epstein files are out and half of them are still missing or heavily redacted, and they're calling it compliance oversight is being dismantled, and they're calling it efficiency. And the people asking questions are being called the threat. I'm just curious how many of the things we were taught to believe were written by the same agency we've been funding our entire lives without being allowed to know what it does.
Let's get one thing straight. We have had protests, we've had marches, hashtags, we've had viral moments, mass outrage, we've had global attention, and we haven't extracted a single dime from the ruling class. Not $1 in redistributed wealth, okay? Not one structural concession, not one forced policy shift that touches capital, not one transfer of power, not one material loss to the people who actually run this system. What we've had is performance. We've had symbolism, we've had slogans, we've had catharsis, we've had feelings, we've had aesthetics, we've had branded resistance, we've had protest as content, and content doesn't threaten power. Power only moves when it's forced to move. Power only changes when it loses money. Power only responds when its systems stop functioning. Power only negotiates when extraction is interrupted. But what we have built, we've built stages, we've built festivals, we've built panels, speaker lists, we've built influencer pipelines, nonprofit careers, we've built consultant ecosystems, we've built merch tables and donation funnels. We didn't build leverage. And now, look at what they did to the No Kings protest. They turned it into a festival. Music stages, keynote speakers, professional panels, NGO branding, professional managerial class voices, nonprofit executives, academic analysis, organizers with titles, grant fellowships, and foundation funding. It looks radical. It sounds radical. It feels radical. But it doesn't cost the ruling class a dime. That's a scam. If your protest can be scheduled, branded, sponsored, securitized, live streamed, and managed, it's not a threat. If your resistance has keynote speakers, it's not resistance. If your movement has a VIP section, it's not a movement. If your struggle has a stage manager, it's already absorbed. They didn't repress it. They didn't crush it. They didn't outlaw it. They absorbed it. They turned rage into ritual. They turned anger into art. They turned resistance into resume lines. They turned struggle into social capital. They turned suffering into speaking engagements. In the professional managerial class, like always, are the middle layer. Not the ruling class, not the working class, the translator class, the manager class, the credential class, okay? The nonprofit class, the consultant class, the foundation funded class. The class that doesn't own shit, but manages the narratives, okay? They manage the organizations, the funding, the language, the optics, and the structure. So now we have movements that feel radical, but function safely inside the system. We have protests that express anger, but protect capital. We have activism that produces awareness, but not redistribution. We have resistance that creates visibility, but not vulnerability, but power. We don't threaten supply chains. We don't disrupt logistics. We don't interrupt profit flows. We don't destabilize extraction. We don't touch assets. We don't touch property relations. We don't touch ownership structures. So nothing changes. Because nothing is forced to change. And this is what all the people in the comment section hate for me to say. If the ruling class can ignore you, you're not a movement. If the ruling class can fund you, you're not a threat. If the ruling class can platform you, you're not dangerous. If the ruling class can absorb you, you're not disruptive. If the ruling class can wait you out, you've already lost. No kings means nothing if their wealth goes untouched. No kings means nothing if their power is uninterrupted. No kings means nothing if their system is still running perfectly. Revolution is not a vibe. It is not a festival. It is not a stage. It's not a panel or a nonprofit. It's not a brand. It's not a content strategy. It's leverage. It's disruption. It's extraction. It's pressure. It's cost. It's consequence. It's forced negotiation. Until the ruling class is losing money, control, legitimacy, and stability, everything else is performance. And performance is safe. So don't tell me about awareness. Don't tell me about representation. Don't tell me about vibes. Don't tell me about the conversation. Don't tell me about no goddamn symbolism. Show me loss. Show me concessions. Show me redistribution. Show me power transfer. Show me structural change. Show me material wins.
The Empire is losing its ability to hide its ugly nature. It used to be hard to help Westerners see the depravity of the US Empire. Now it's just right in everyone's face, with raw genocide footage and insanely evil warmongering of direct economic consequence. It took a lot of work to help the average Westerner understand that NATO aggressions actively provoked the war in Ukraine, or that Western interventionism played a major role in the violence and chaos in Syria, or that U.S. economic warfare was largely responsible for the suffering of Cubans and Venezuelans. The murderous savagery of the empire was hidden behind layers of obfuscation, allowing the propagandists to frame the Western power structure as a passive witness to the abuses of foreign regimes. Now, the propagandists have very little to work with, so those obfuscations can no longer take place. There's no way you can spin a school full of children blown up by an American double-tap airstrike as anything other than what it is. There's only so much narrative manipulation you can exert on raw video footage of a Western-backed genocide playing out in full view of the entire world day after day for years. There's no way to propagandize Westerners into believing they want to pay a lot more money for their fuel and groceries. I saw a former EU Parliament member, Luis Garicano, complaining on Twitter that Trump's actions are making it look as though leftists have been correct about the US empire this entire time, saying, "Many of us liberal Europeans spent decades pushing back against the European extreme left's cartoon version of America. It's all oil imperialism, getting rich at the expense of others." And then one dumb administration walks in and performs the caricature to perfection. Everything's becoming more and more revealed, more and more transparent. What was once done by whistleblowers, investigative journalists, activists, and dissident media is now being done by the empire itself, because there's only so long you can hide the truth about something so malignant. An empire that is held together by lies, corruption, and endless slaughter was never going to remain unseen. The brutality necessary to dominate the planet had to come out into the light eventually. "May all be revealed" has been my prayer for our world for many years now. That dearly held wish is now being answered, and the truth is looking every bit as ugly as expected. May all be revealed. May all that is hidden become seen. In the empire, in our governments, in our culture, in our community, in our interpersonal relationships, in ourselves. All abusiveness ultimately boils down to a lack of clear seeing. Governments are able to abuse people because the dynamics of corruption and tyranny aren't clearly seen by the public, who would violently revolt if they truly understood what their leaders are doing to them and their world. Domestic violence and family sexual abuse can only continue when the rest of the community doesn't see and understand what the abuser is doing. Our own abusive tendencies can only persist for as long as our trauma responses and maladaptive coping mechanisms remain hidden in the shadows of our subconscious mind. All of these dysfunctional dynamics will lose their durability as we become more and more conscious of what's really going on, in ourselves and in our world. Things look ugly now because the truth is ugly, but it is only by truth revealing itself that we can move toward health and harmony as a species. If you've ever done deep inner work on your own psychology, you have seen this play out in your own personal experience. You can heal your inner woundedness if you can gather up the courage to plunge into your darkness and face with uncompromising honesty the uncomfortable realities you've been avoiding within yourself throughout your entire life. But you kept those things unconscious for a reason. They're scary. They're painful. They're shameful. Facing them can feel like the end of the world. Yet it is only by coaxing them into the light of consciousness that they can be fully seen, reconciled, and healed. Humans as a collective cannot fix problems which we don't clearly see and understand. Our rulers pour so much energy into maintaining influence operations like news media propaganda, Hollywood psyops, Silicon Valley algorithm manipulation, and government secrecy in order to obstruct our clear seeing and understanding. But it's all coming tumbling out into the cold light of day now. More and more is becoming visible. May the lies and obfuscations continue to unravel. May the truth continue to reveal itself.
Driving Lyft and doing Uber Eats. Granddad's dead, may he rest in peace. Grandson's hooked on the gambling and porn, working for tips in the Great Class War. Well, we're all veterans of the Great Class War. What branch did you serve? What was your chore? Did you Uber around? Did you dash to the door? Working for tips in the Great Class War. When I get down and out and don't know what to say, I think, what have I done to think a billionaire today? I ain't never walked a data center in their shoes, found a cobalt mine with the overlord blues. There's choices you make, there's paths that you choose. I'd be a billionaire too if I didn't hit snooze. Lord, take and consecrate the waste I made delivering this burrito. Blessed to the wealth and health and the splendor and power of a CEO. There's good people in a warehouse breaking their backs, shuffling junk around, putting shit in stacks, dreaming someday of a brand new start, the demise of mankind's in a shopping cart. Every day is a battle and you don't even know what for. A lot of wounded and missing in the Great Class War.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for non-profit use.